When President Obama took office in 2009, he called Afghanistan the good war, and he promised to end it. That hasn't happened, and our next guest says Afghanistan could be the Trump administration's first foreign policy crisis. Jonathan Schroden is director of the Center for Stability and Development at CNA, a research and analysis organization. He wrote about Afghanistan for the War on the Rocks website, and he's with us from NPR in Washington. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, you've written that just as was the case back in 2009, when President Obama first came into office in January 2009, you see the war in Afghanistan now trending in the wrong direction. Tell us more. Why is that happening?
Probably the most salient point that I think you could look at in terms of reasons to be concerned about Afghanistan's future stems from the fact that over the course of the past year, the 2016 fighting season, the Taliban were able to attack and occasionally infiltrate into five different provincial capitals in the country. And in fact, they attacked several of those numerous times. So there were eight overall attacks and some incursions into various provincial capitals. Compare that to one attack and incursion that occurred last year in 2015 and zero that occurred in the several years before that. So, I mean, that's just one specific indicator that you could look at that causes pause with respect to the security situation as it's unfolding in Afghanistan.
Well, and there's significant reason to feel that pause because as you write, I mean, I just want to read a whole paragraph from what you've written here because it's very sobering. You write,
sure.
Remember Afghanistan, the longest war in U.S. history, where the U.S., its allies in NATO, and several partner nations still have in excess of 13,000 troops on the ground, where the U.S. spent last year approximately $3.6 billion on security force assistance alone, where the U.S. has been dropping ever larger numbers of bombs since President Obama gave forces more expansive authorities to achieve so-called strategic effects. I mean, even with all of that, the Taliban is gaining ground right now?
Yeah, I mean, it really stems from, right, there was a transition that took place at the end of 2014 from what was largely a U.S. and, you know, NATO ally-led campaign against the Taliban to an Afghan-led campaign. And so as part of that, the U.S. and its NATO allies drew down quite a few of their forces, as I think most people know, but left a sizable contingent behind on the order of 10 to 15,000 troops. And the idea was that the Afghans, we thought, were strong enough, their security forces were strong enough to step into the lead and hold the gains that we had helped them achieve over the past few years. And what we've seen over the past couple of years is that those security forces have proven not nearly as strong or as resilient as we thought. And so, especially over the course of the last year, what you saw is some amount of backtracking in terms of the planned further drawdown of U.S. troops and the reintroduction of these strategic effects authorities, which allows U.S. forces in Afghanistan to offensively target the Taliban and the Islamic State in Afghanistan with airstrikes and other means, which was a pretty big step because prior to that, the authorities were such that the U.S. forces in Afghanistan could only respond in times of self-defense with things like airstrikes.
Hmm. So the security situation is deteriorating. The country's civil infrastructure also in a pretty terrible state. I mean, you write that the parliament just dismissed seven government ministers and the first vice president had publicly beaten and kidnapped a political rival. So, I mean, given both the civil infrastructure problems, the security problems you're outlining, I mean, do we have any sense as to what the Trump administration's strategy will be in Afghanistan?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really open question. I mean, one of the reasons I wrote this article was to try and stimulate further discussion on that, because as somebody who's worked on Afghanistan for the last 9 years or so, I found it pretty disconcerting that it was not addressed at all in the presidential debates or really at any meaningful way along the presidential campaigns. As best as I can tell, the Trump administration transition team hasn't yet sort of made clear what their views on Afghanistan are or what the president-elect's views on Afghanistan are. I think a primary question on the table is what is the length and depth of the commitment of the new administration to the war in Afghanistan? I think, you know, answering that question then leads down a whole set of different paths, depending on, you know, whether you're more interested in a long-term approach or a rough continuation of the sort of short, let's see if we can get out of here in the next couple of years approach that we've been trying for the last 5 to 6 years.
Well, we'll have to wait for some clarity on the answer to that question. But, I mean, is there anything that we can read on a potential strategy based on who the president-elect has picked to help lead foreign policy? I mean, his nominees for Secretary of State or General Michael Flynn as National Security Advisor.
I have worked with General Flynn and General Mattis, the Trump administration's pick for Secretary of Defense, in the past. I suspect that based on their history of involvement with the war in Afghanistan and their sort of deep and nuanced understanding of that war and the actors involved in the situation there, I have to believe that they have a pretty sobering view of the conflict on the ground and sort of where we stand right now as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about how we got here, specifically meaning President Obama's legacy in Afghanistan. Because in September of last year, the president gave an interview with the New York Times, and he was asked whether or not he thought his Afghanistan policy had been a failure. And here was his answer.
So while it is true that we still have several thousand troops there, and while it is true that that's always dangerous and always tough for our brave men and women in uniform, and that occasionally there have been significant casualties associated with that, for the most part, this is now an Afghan fight.
It seems as if the president was working really hard there to qualify his answer. I mean, how do you assess the President Obama's legacy in Afghanistan?
You know, looking at his policies over the last 8 years, what I would say is I think there's clearly some disappointment on behalf of the administration that they weren't able to sort of wind down the U.S. involvement in Afghanistan, you know, more substantially than they were able to, as well as some disappointment that the surge in troops that we sent to Afghanistan shortly after Obama took office didn't have more of an effect that they did, which is not to say that they didn't have an effect. They actually had quite a great effect. They significantly weakened the Taliban and put that movement back on its heels for a number of years. But I think, you know, the transition to the Afghan security forces did not go as smoothly or as easily as we had hoped or planned. And so we now find ourselves in a situation where we're having to do more and assume a bit more control and certainly a lot more support of those Afghan security forces than was originally planned or hoped for. So that's a nuanced answer to what seems to be a very simple question. But I don't think you can say it's been a failure, nor do I think you can say it's been as resounding a success as we might have hoped.
Well, let me ask you, this is America's longest war. The conflict or American military involvement in Afghanistan is now in its 16th year. We have yet another president who's going to be inheriting what's going on in Afghanistan. And you say in your piece that Afghanistan in 2017 is again the, quote, forgotten war, that it's taken a backseat to Iraq and other military conflicts. What does the United States risk? What are the dangers that we face when Afghanistan has become the forgotten war in the minds of most Americans?
Yeah, I mean, there's a point that the commander of forces in Afghanistan now, General Nicholson, makes when he gives briefings, which is of the designated terrorist organizations that exist globally, 20 of them have a presence in either Afghanistan or Pakistan. I think it's like 13 in Afghanistan and 7 in Pakistan. So it's a sort of sobering reminder that this is a very dangerous part of the world. And so, you know, turning our back on Afghanistan is just really not a feasible or logical option, especially when you look at the history of U.S. involvement in Afghanistan, right? I mean, us sort of abandoning the Mujahideen in the wake of their victory against the Soviets didn't turn out very well for us. And I think, you know, any even slight student of history would take that lesson to heart when it comes to thinking about the future of Afghanistan as well.
Jonathan Schroden is director of the Center for Stability and Development at CNA. We have a link to his piece about the Afghan war at our website, hereandnow.org. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.